So, dear girls, please don't think of me that I think of you, that you somehow betrayed your country, because it struck to me that maybe this got across this way when I was yesterday referring the episode from my fantasy work, Macron, and his, his adored Ukrainian lover, Zappi, and that she is somehow this way. I thought of this, I wrote this, I put this into her character, that she is somehow sticking on to her position or her job in her country with a fierce patriotic feeling, and feeling that all her friends or many maybe left already for studying or because the economic situation is not that good in Ukraine. But she is somehow this way patriotic. And please understand that I think of you two girls, that you are very patriotic and the most, of course I described it in the poem, and that the Ukrainian nation will be glorious and victorious, maybe not on the battlefield, or hopefully there the battle can end soon, but it doesn't depend on this, on the borders, that your culture is great and that you two are the material proof of it. And I know that I bring this up because it was a huge, well, it was at some point a really annoyed remark I made against my ex-girlfriend, because I wanted to hurt her and therefore told her that she was betraying her country. And this didn't make sense, of course, it's so stupid, also because I don't even have a feeling of patriotism and always try to smear Germany, my homeland, but also feel maybe I shouldn't do it because, yeah, the German proletarians are entrapped in here. I mean, they don't have another outlook to the world like I do through my journeys, and I feel I'm at home anywhere, or I'm a globalist, and yeah, but the Germans, proletarians, they are also victims of capitalism, so I shouldn't maybe always smear Germany so much, but simply for me it's not an option to be patriotic or be saying nice things about my country. But for you, of course, it's natural. For a Peruvian or for a Ukrainian girl, it should be something beautiful to love your country, and you are totally not part of these hard struggles that we have to endure here in Germany, or as Germans thinking about our history. This is a singular position in the world you have to see on the top of imperialism and with this history of fascism. Of course, every country has a singular history, but I think, yeah, for being such a powerful country also today on the world stage, it's we have a special obligation as Germans to really think deeply, reflect on this whole topic of nationality and history. And back then, for some reason, I had a fight with my ex-girlfriend and then told her, thought of what could hurt her the most, and therefore I wrote to her, texted to her that traicionaste a tu patria, you betrayed your homeland, your country, patria, Vaterland, the country of your fathers. Treason, committed treason, treachery, Treulosigkeit. Of course, betrayal could also mean disloyalty, like in a relationship, Treubruch, a monogamous relationship. And yeah, this I wanted to mention first that all of you three girls are so patriotic as and is something good and natural. And that it's normal that you want to emigrate and not live in your country anymore when you have such gloomy perspective there and don't find a job. Likely Leah told me that they're really assessing you there and calling you back week after week to put you through numerous tests and to assess your ability as a programmer. And this is, of course, they only pick the cherries, and there is not enough labor for all the students that go out of university, and even the ones who get lucky get the chance to find a job. Well, even they, have to go through this toxic competition and will feel then so under pressure. Therefore, this work is so toxic in capitalism and not like in socialism, where it educates you to be and identify as a worker and not be like this idealist. Like in capitalism, we all aim and identify also like a bourgeois and have to think of it, oh yeah, I could do it myself, could found an enterprise, which of course some people can, but there's only some really special, intelligent and strong people who have this power of will and able to put up plans and execute. Like, of course, you, Zoriana, I mentioned about you. You could found your own firm. But so it's totally natural to emigrate then, and it wouldn't make sense for you to be there. You wouldn't be also helping your country, Or what good would it do? From my standpoint, it's good to end the war, so yeah, on one hand you can say at least as a worker there you would also be contributing to society, but no, this is the whole problem. If it's that hard to even find a job, why would you go through this, compete through against all these other workers applying there and then just to find a job in a country that's there at war, or in a country like Peru that is also in kind of economic war and a political dismantling. And yeah, this is therefore very, of course, I'm very glad that you're all here, and yeah, only wanted to explain this because I know that it hurt to my ex-girlfriend, but what is to be done? We have to plan revolution, and there we can create a socialist federation so we can have equal trade and help exchange of services and knowledge between the countries, and establishing factories, like a factory for processing chocolate there in Peru. Like my ex-girlfriend proposed or said that she doesn't understand why this isn't done. Of course, this is imperialism, exploiting those countries for raw materials, but prohibiting them through means of their capital monopolies, prohibiting that there could be established a chocolate fabric there. It's absurd. Why should all this cacao get shipped over first from Africa and South America and then be processed here in Switzerland or in Germany? It's absurd. But of course it has to happen this way. We have the monopolies here. The fabrics are producing at a lower cost. Someone could set up a fabric in Peru, but it wouldn't work that great. Therefore it would have higher prices and it would be outcompeted on the world market. But socialistically, of course, we could plan this and plan how we can help them to get better each year and to buy some of the chocolate produced there. Maybe first through subsidizing, also because it can't compete. You have to put up this Zoll. And so So we could get there, but this never happens because, of course, in Peru they also have the bourgeoisie, the ruling class, but it's a ruling class that is only there at the will and at the mercy also of the truly imperialist ruling classes of those Western countries. And therefore, yeah, they have also their productive means, have also their capital and industries, but not in this large scale and only making profits there. Maybe smaller monopolies, more related to more raw materials and little, only some industry. But this is exactly the plan of those imperialist countries, and they pay the subservient bourgeois class then of those exploited country. They're somehow connected to them, or also incentivize them to stay in this place and to be like, yeah, we're good with this position, intermediate, as an intermediate exploiter there in a country like Brazil, like one of those underdeveloped countries, but that still has a little, at least Brazil is at least a strong country that does have industries. And yeah, but you're not part of the Western bourgeoisie, but as a bourgeois there in Brazil, still you're part of the worldwide system of bourgeoisie, and you're part of those bourgeoisie of compradors or something like this was what wrote Lenin. But moving on here, let's skip politics, right? So Zoll is customs. You have to put up a customs duty for the chocolate from Peru not having to compete in the first years on with the chocolate from Switzerland, because this is already produced much more efficiently, because it has been going for decades or hundreds of years. These industries could slowly develop here in Germany, also through customs duty, because this was the way Germany protected itself against England in the 19th century, when England was the really superior industrial force. But Germany then slowly began to develop also some fabrics and had to politically somehow legislate, accompany this process on the economic level, because if it isn't, then it couldn't develop on the economic level also. And this we see today, of course, in Africa, in South America and Ukraine also, that it can't be done if you don't have a political plan, or if that political plan is already scripted, like with free trade and with this neoliberalism, dictated from those Western institutions like the IMF, like the EU. And if they already tell you this is how it has to be done, then of course you're going to do it this way, but this way you're never going to catch up, always going to be left behind and never going to be able to compete with the EU countries. And this is so absurd and really evil, gotta say. The evil ones, as Malon Cohen puts it, they are so rich and powerful, therefore they can afford lots of PR managers and slogans and campaigns and appear like to be good. And this is the dialectics between good and evil, that a truly evil institution like EU, or like, I don't know, the evil capitalist entities, of course, can't point the finger at any single individual. We're all part of the system and only living inside it, out of its premises, digesting its normalcies. Yeah, all those companies like Mercedes, all these companies can pretend like they have a green image, they have a social image, or like our company. Yesterday it was mentioned at the FIR meeting, good to know for you, Lydia, because you weren't there. And there our boss told us that, well, we also have to be certified as an ESG company. A company certified with environmental, social, and whatever, governmental responsibility, assuring that we make an effort to save electricity, to combat climate change, and this, well, this absurd theater to, yeah, make an effort, make a moral effort, or to ensure we don't have child labor or some of our suppliers. But yeah, okay, I mean, the truly evil corporations always have the means and the money, the resources to make it appear as though they're good. And the truly good ones and innocent ones, they're so poor and devastated or destitute. Yeah, this is verarmt, destitute, that they don't have anything that they can put on or come up with to make it appear as though, to make it look like they were good. So this is the paradox. Therefore, moral in this sense doesn't serve. This is somehow what Malancon explains to us, that we are all evil, only that some accept it and try to combat it and fight against it, like you, Zoriana, but some stay like this in our bubble, like maybe also I prefer, because yeah, is this the real work here? It feels, no, this is all coward, because there I left you, Zoriana, at the office without daring to talk to you or even look to you, but still I even at least greeted you and looked at you when I left. And so yeah, I don't know, this is not that. This work here, as I said, will become only fulfilled and completed once the situation gets resolved. And I don't know even what situation. Thinking also of my ex-girlfriend, because I texted her today and to tell her I recorded this poem yesterday. And okay, but gotta be very, very precise here. Now my mind was wandering in the introduction part, but now should plan another abduction. Abduction is like kidnapping. And you three girls are so victorious, I must say, and you're my model of subjectivity. And there we come to the point, yeah, now I gotta talk about you, Zoriana, because I didn't like what I said yesterday. It was totally a blunder or even an offense to you. Sorry, please only understand that I'm talk that much, all these podcasts. You can't control everything that slips out. You can't be in charge every single time. So what I said was that it would be not that hard to penetrate you in a social way, like to grasp your soul and your personality, to understand you, your preferences, your features, or your bad or good parts, also your wickedness, or just the characteristical. But my point today is, of course, that it's totally wrong what I said, and that it's the other way around. Like with a woman like Lilia, I feel so entrenched. But with such a woman, it is clear to me, like also my ex-girlfriend, it's totally clear that it's easy to penetrate, right? In the social way, it's easy to grasp the other. So yeah, entrenched isn't that good. It has to do with the war, with fighting again. But no, it's intermingled already, so in a way it's very easy, a sense we are equal, and the only thing that we're both afraid of, Lydia and I, that we are too equal and we feel there's really nothing special in ourselves. And once the other one is going to see this, oh, this is only also a boring person, how is he or she going to love me then anymore? And I feel this is the basic problem between us, that we know it's too easy to penetrate each other. We are already there intimately. Why even take another material step? And yeah. And yeah, because every time I talk to her, talk to you, Lilia, every time everything flows out so natural, and therefore it makes sense to say this, that you listen to my stories, not like I told yesterday, like this was therefore totally wrong, that Soriana is a blank page and listen to my story. No, this is totally not the point, Soriana, because with you I want to listen to your stories, because you are that bursting subjectivity, but with Lilia it's different. Somehow we both are a container for the other, so we can deploy our programs, our applications inside each other. And I feel you're going to be this container for me, or you take all this so charmingly. Yeah, it's so amazing unity that only you should really understand me, and therefore you are like the highest muse for my life. I can explain to you all that I think and all my ideas, and in this area of my real life I sense that you are a muse or the highest possible concept, Lilia. But the problem being that it's always difficult to live life, and yeah, I have many weird hobbies or habits, and this is the problem. Then you enter a relationship, but you can't let all the wickedness go from one moment to another, and you can't say, now I finally plan my life and be like this real autonomous subject, like looking out for myself, but until now I never was. And how is it possible? Why should it somehow now be all changed and be so different? Well, just I think this is somehow the problem. So I'm turning here my buttons a little, trying to gear up the volume, get the volume higher. This is the basic problem, Lilia, that I don't know how to live life, or life is always difficult. But what is easier is my art, and I know that I always want to do, like my podcast, it's a coercion when I come home. Like also before publishing TSY number 2, this felt like the most critical episode, even though those last episodes were also critical, but this one I think got it all started. And when I published it, it was like, yeah, I came home and this was the normal thing to do, coercive need, because also I had seen you, your clear image at the office, and I knew I can't let you go. And this is always a feeling, producing art or anything, that is normal, and you can slip right in, go right back to it where you left yesterday, and it's just lustful to go on working there. Lusty is lustful also, but I use this a lot because I like the word in German. And with Soriana I feel it's more about the art. She's the highest muse in this sense, that she forces me to go on with my art, because it has to do with your vision, with your outlook, but not your beauty, I might say, because maybe I shouldn't talk about this word because it brings in also sexual difference, because it's never talked so much about male beauty. Therefore, better to say your naturality. Yeah. Your innocence, also naturality, and your straightforwardness. Yeah. Something like it, can pick anything, but somehow this is then the main characteristic that, besides your work determination, that makes me feel that, wow, there's nothing I can do, but when I see you, it's all clear, and it's also too much, but at least I can try to compensate, to come up with this, producing my art. And now I gotta clarify that you're not at all therefore easy to penetrate, but you are the biggest riddle that I could imagine, and don't even want to penetrate you in this way socially. Don't want to understand you fully, because I feel it's impossible, and you have so many parts and ideas, and also in a relationship, like Father says, it shouldn't be like this, that you have to know every last bit of one and another. And this is a feeling, a girl that is so, well, so natural, and also naturally should I say no naturally feminine, but somehow what I was saying about the shapes of your body, something is there that could intimidate men to a higher degree than with other women that have more androgynous shapes, maybe. And this is therefore exactly the point I have with you, Lilia. It's so simple and easy. Like, I need to, it's easy to get close to you, or to talk even about cuddling up and touching you, because it feels we're already doing it, and we should have been doing it already. And it's, yeah. But then with you, Soriana, it's totally impossible, or not that, at least strenuous, to imagine to touch you, or to even to kiss. This is not an easy task, it feels. Why? This intimidation, of course, but I have to explain this very, very sharply. That a boy can then maybe feel confronted with such a girl, and not only that she's so natural, but also that she's so independent, like in your work, and also so caught up in her own world and focused on her tasks and not even noticing the outside world or not being touched by it. Gets you the feeling like I, as a man, could never touch you, or at least not leave this kind of a mark in your heart or your mind, because somehow you're always going to have this autonomous part, and this might then for a man also feel dazzling and overwhelming and like too much. How could I love such a girl if she's never going to be mine completely? She always is going to have her own world. And this is the difference, like what I meant, Lilia, sorry, but feels like this, our worlds are already melted together, and it's only the question of accepting it and really recognizing it and affirming it, saying all this into each other's face. But it feels like there's really no doubt about this, that we're the same, and Yeah, we know each other so well, know each corner of our personality. And then, Zoriana, with you, are the biggest riddle, and I don't even want to decipher you in any way. You're not at all easy to conquer or to penetrate or anything. No, you're so challenging, might even not be possible to try. Or the point is what I was explaining about this intimidation. Then a man confronted with such a woman, and that on one hand she's so attractive, natural, but on the other hand that she's also so self-determined, and she's never going to need a man. You feel, how is such a woman even going to have a need or a yearning for a man at her side? It's not possible. Or then is what I was, have to say it all out loud here. What I was thinking then when I left the office was that therefore one could feel a certain aggression towards such a woman. And this is the point that maybe I also felt sometime back in when it first came, but it's not meant anything bad, just that it's too much to take all that you represent and that you exhale. It's too much, and how should I digest this? Or it's then somehow a male reaction to this, to say, oh my god, this woman, what is this? You're so beautiful, but okay, at least I can assume this about you, that you're somehow you're stupid, idiot, or you're or that you're arrogant, but no, you really aren't, you're modest, and you try to cultivate your modesty also, because it makes sense. I understand you also that you don't want to be seen as such an erotic sex object, you want to be a worker there, and therefore it's also my discourse here not maybe so adequate. But this male aggression then could say, this woman is, and therefore I have to talk about all this to let this out and get past this. Now I feel that I wouldn't think like this about you anymore in this aggressive way, that I just want you to be a co-worker, equalized. But this is the point, when you see such an attractive person and you imagine what is she really and how is her life and her thinking, but then you get a resentment and say, either way, I'm never going to be able to grasp this, or she's never going to recognize what I could be for her, or she is this was what I was looking at. This is like simple-minded, naive. Like this Don Quixote, this fabulous novel, there it says El Ingenioso Hidalgo Don Quixote. Bueno, ingenioso is einfallsreich, not, I don't know. Einfallsreich oder einfältig. But this is somehow simple-minded, you're naive, and of course it's normal also to be naive when you're so young, when you're 20. I was naive, at least still when I was 25, still so stupidly naive, and now I'm a little older, 28 now, but still. And therefore, gotta tell you, this is only the resentment that then comes up through all your baffling being, and somehow, I also had to let it out and tell to you now that it feels very good. feel very good that you're there and also to have talked about you. And only that also I have to reveal. But yeah, that this is felt yesterday, at least, like, not that serious with you. Yeah, can't even imagine touching you, and at least, yeah, have want to push it away also and tell you that, yeah, anything could be happening in the future, but I want to explore now this, or yeah, try to fix this mess with that was created now with Lilia, also my ex-girlfriend, and this is the main task for the next month. I feel I need to get there. This can't go forever. I'm really depending on her, mainly Lilia. She recognized me, and I don't want to think like to swap one lover for another. No, this love goes also on for my ex-girlfriend, and yeah, maybe I feel comfortable with her position also because I feel it's practically impossible to love that many girls. So it's a nice solution for me to say I'm her mental lover still and still can compose poems for her. But yeah, let's see. Probably can't get back to being real lovers, and that's okay. Could be at least friends and meet sometimes. And now I want to talk more about you, Zorian, because this really was a mistake yesterday, I felt then. To make it appear as though you were an easy girl, to be just there, so easily conquered. No, this, as I said, you're the biggest riddle I could imagine. And yeah, the biggest source of inspiration for my work, at least for my art. It's clear that when you overwhelm me, then also I have to overwhelm you and all the world with my art. This is a clear exchange and trade also. Trade like between the countries, trading goods and materials. I feel also, I annotated here, inferior to you. And this is a great feeling then. And finally, as a man, I can be inferior to a woman. And this I feel also to you because of all your determination. This couldn't be that I'm really... Also, of course, I don't want to be the single guy for a person. But in your case, it's a special feeling. This wouldn't even be possible. No person could be the single star for you. Because somehow you're always moving on. Your mind is so moving so quickly. And this is also the point. With the conversations with Lilia, there was this harmony and yeah, everything flows so natural, it's almost too much. Therefore I want to run away from this feeling, because where does this lead? I mean, it's clear we fit together, want to marry you and have so many children with you. It's obvious and logical step, it feels, but also want to run away, because how can I be that locked in and trapped in this love circle with you? Always know what to answer, what to answer back, how to follow up this conversation. And she and you, Lilia, were always, of course, very forthcoming and participating so vividly, but also taking my stories into you. And this is the point. I can explain myself only to you. Only there I want to really reveal everything and create this great subject that also I could be, but only for you. And then with other persons, with Soriana, there's simply no need also to tell all my stories, I feel. No, it's about you. Let you tell me your stories then. Because this I felt when talking to you, sometimes that there was a higher grade of nervousness, as expressed in the poem, It was said that practice creates masters. And yeah, this is true. On one hand, there was simply more practice with Lilia. But on the other hand, it's also just that somehow the mixture of the personalities of the characters has to fit. It has to be a potion that fits right in. The ingredients, the fragrance of this soup, the two characters mingling together over the communication process. This soup somehow is very flavoring or savoring, makes my mouth water with Lilia. But with you, it's different. And every time we talked, I got this feeling also that I can come up with something to tell you, but then your answer is always going to be like subjective. Yeah, you're not really, and this is so great, but you're not really understanding my point. Or maybe, yeah, because I'm too nervous. Not like Lilia, she makes me also feel so calm, I can tell her everything with ease. But with you, I feel your mind is sharp and I'm so nervous and not really talking that straight, and therefore you take out some part of what I said, and then you are so subjective and bursting and talk about something else, but my mind can't even follow. And this is the point. The point is that your mind is also too rapid moving and it can't keep up with my discourse is too slow for you. This I felt also last episode wasn't good, was messed up, was slow again, this is not good. At least for you, I feel it's not going to be adequate. That your mind is stepping too quickly, or I feel at least under pressure. But this is no problem. Therefore, as I said, it's not even important what I say, but what you say, and just I want to follow you, but it's not that easy. But as written in this one entry in this diary, that your eyes were jumping around like this, and yeah, you're like this, you're also impulsive and volatile in a way. Impetuous, and this is nice, of course, like a storm. Impetuous, like I wrote in the Spanish poem last time also. And yeah, this is the way you are, and can't say anything more. I think this makes it all clear that you are a challenge. Even to talk is way more challenging, and in so many ways, but yeah, I hope we can someday soon forget about all these episodes and just go back to talking there in just 5 minutes or even 2 minutes, and this would of course be a joy and doesn't mean anything, right? Because you know that I'm caught up always in my theoretical battles here and I'm open to be seduced by any girl, but I don't expect anything from anyone. And also I'm glad to be left alone in a way, to be left here to be recording my podcasts, because as I said last time in the Spanish outro, I'm not even sure what you girls would think if you actually be with me and having there a nice supper or dinner, and dinner with red wine maybe, but then you'd be somehow could be disappointed and say, oh well, it would have been better had he used this time to record a nice podcast for us. I don't know how it's going to be, but I have this insecurity about myself also. Don't know what kind of a person I am. And yeah. And I don't even want to know you that good, or feel like there's always going to have to be something that you hide from me, no matter in what kind of constellation, as a colleague or as a friend or anything. But somehow you are not a person that can be easily pierced or looked through, but you are really, you're also young, you're developing, but this thing about the blank page is that you're so bursting and so clear that this page is going to be written full and being going to pile up in a huge book, and it's too much everything that you are and that you promise for your life. And in this early age, don't even want to remember me being that young, because it wasn't such a great time. It was in a way a great time until 18, 19 when I lived in Argentina, but then studying, yeah, talked about this, wasn't that great. And just then, just the journeys I could make then in the vacation, always, this is the great point about studying, that you get 2 months or 3-4 months off a year. I don't know if it's the same in Ukraine, but this was great. I could travel a lot through Italy, Florence and the Mediterranean, France, Spain, Sweden. I, like my brother is now in Sweden again with his girlfriend. I was thinking about going there, but in order to do this in August, I should work harder there, because now I feel under pressure from my boss. He said I have to take this exam and should really study, and therefore, yeah, today also tried it. And yeah, this could be the perfect plan, because maybe I'm too eccentric right now and too caught up in all this. I have to get my head straight, and I should take some vacation. And yeah, there to think about everything, let this sink in. And Sweden is so great. You can put your tent anywhere you like, and you're always welcome to spend the night there, even if it's a private property. There I made a canoe tour with my brother 6 or 7 years ago, and now he's there with his girlfriend. But I feel that my energy is already running a little low, and I don't want to make such a long podcast like yesterday. This was not great, was not at all adequate, and only the one from the day before, number 175. This was really top-notch, I'm gonna say kaput. And so let's play this song by Jennifer Rostock, Ich und mein Mikrofon. Ja, niemand nimmt mir mein Mikrofon. And this I tell to you, all my listeners, you don't mess with my podcast. If one day I find my podcast messed up, like, yeah, these days, pretty critical. I'm examining myself and my performance in the podcast critically, and gotta say, most of the episodes aren't really up to this high standard. And yeah, but if you want to mess with my podcast, you know that this would get me really angry and infuriated. And yeah, you could always use that also in love. Maybe at times it's feels natural to hurt the other one. Or yeah, then this would be really a sting to mess with this, or to delete my episodes. This would really, wow. And yeah, with this, let's play the song Jennifer Rostock, Ich, mein Mikrofon, yeah. Mein Mikrofon has a lot of power and grip and ferociousness in it also. Ferocious, like wild, ungezügelt. Wild, bösartig, ferocious, vigorous. Yeah, let's simply listen to it.
Musik an ihre
Yeah, this was great stuff by Jenny Vostok. And the reason my discourse yesterday was simply low on energy and also languid, limp, worn out. I'm washed out. Was that I was thinking or couldn't avoid thinking of Loriana, and on the other hand feeling guilty for Lilia and for everything. And then, yeah, thinking that if I should record a podcast now, then it would have to be like a love declaration for Loriana. And in a way it was, but Loriana, it has to be understood that you are the highest possible concept in this way for me in art, but a muse is not equal to being a lover. And yeah, I don't feel like we need to be lovers now. We could, but I don't want to make any illusions, because I want to leave it up to you girls, right? I want to tell you that I don't want to make you rivals, but also I don't want to decide in this way of really committing exclusively. Of course, committing is good and feels my heart is committed and my mind is always bounded by you, Lilia, and you, Peruana, and yeah, I think it's all clear or not, but that I had to tell you something, especially to you, Zorina, that explains somehow how is it possible that it's so complicated what I'm explaining here, yet on the other hand I wrote to Lilia, I think in a private message on Christmas, that yeah, back then in childhood everything was easier and somehow I wish we could go back to that time. Like in childhood, you could be friends with anyone in kindergarten and it wasn't this complicated feeling, the sexual sizzling, and this possibility arises every time before our eyes. What would this feel like, being with this person or having a dinner or breakfast with this person? Wouldn't this be amazing? And this then leads into the sexual thinking, and this is always feeling then dirty or not so innocent, this guilty and evil, malicious. This is the whole nasty point about being adult when compared to kindergarten. And something like this I wrote to Lilia in this longer text I sent to her then, which I didn't read in the podcast, in this text on New Year's Eve. And maybe she also showed it to you. I don't know, I just felt then afterwards sorry for what I had written about you, that you were somehow fanatic in the war discussion. But please understand me that this somehow also sums up everything onto your patriotism, that I understand how you girls want to be patriotic, like I saw in my ex-girlfriend. And that's also totally different when you're so young and it's normal to not be politically interested or educated. But with my girlfriend, that she was very patriotic and always loving Peru, although seeing everything that went wrong in politics and hating also the system there for being so corrupt, and where she worked as a lawyer, or being, yeah, not that place she wanted to be. Now she simply couldn't stand it anymore, but still she loves her country this much. And yeah, and with you, Soriana, it's simple that I'm scared of you, and yeah, gotta tell this to you, I'm shuddering. Shuddering, simply, yeah. You give me shuddering eyes, like I think it was in this song, Get You the Moon. That was played 2-3 episodes ago. I can't play or say anything so much more today. I have to educate myself also to read a little, because it can't be like this, dude. You're caught up in your compulsive podcasting. Now my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, texted me that I should give her back a bracelet that she wants to wear. Well, okay. But still, I'm going to wear this one bracelet I have it here. This one she gave to me on our first date as a gift, but then she gave another one to me, and this other one she says has a sentimental value. She wants it back now. But this is okay, I feel this one, the first one she gave me, is really special for me, and yeah, like to wear it some days. And right now I'm also it's a coincidence. I had just picked it up here and then read a message. But what am I even telling here? Shouldn't talk so much about private messages. And yeah, with this childlike, it's simpleness or naivete also. Yeah, there's also there everything is simple. And this is the point about you, Soriana, that of course your physical appearance is more like a child, but in your inner being you're way more adult than Lilia and I, and you are, yeah, simply more committed as a worker, also more formed as a character in a way, or more secure in your place in the world. And Lilia and I, we always feel insecure in a way, and this is always the dialectics between the outer appearance and the inner being. Like I mentioned one time already, I found this quite nice comparison between you two Ukrainian girls, that one is more feminine on the outside, but one more feminine in her behavior. And I don't want to be judging, just you should keep or stay like this. But it's somehow a dialectical relationship, and it's all intermingled, or we all depend on each other, right? We all are also only reacting to the emotions and words of others, to the expectations. I already mentioned in a TSY episode that our feelings, love feelings or feelings of aversion or the taste, what we like to eat, but it's all connected and is all a reaction to the feelings and the flavors of other people. And one thing I like to mention about you, Soriana, that's always smelling very, very good what you bring to lunch, what you eat there. I wanted to tell you this already, like 4 months ago sometime, but I didn't, was too shy again. But then I thought, maybe now. But then I said something to you, but when I had already walked past you and was sitting in my chair again, and there you didn't hear it because you were listening somehow to music with your headphones plugged in. But it's simply, I found it spectacular how, not every time maybe, but sometimes such a rich smell what you bring there, and tasty, smells really tasty. Yeah. And there's no way out. I really don't know what am I even doing, what am I saying to you, but simply I need you for some reason, or for the reason that you're simply there, and it's always nice to be confronted materially, even with problems or questions, and this then is a question, can't be ignored. I feel if you hadn't shown up in November, then everything would have also been easier with Lilia, and it's not for this erotic triangle situation, not this is the point that you're, that you would be abducting my consciousness, but the point is simply that a triangle, that somehow it's somehow another person always leaves an impression, a mark on you, and therefore the whole situation gets more complicated with Lydia, and somehow, yes, yeah. But I don't mean it in this way, in this erotic way, that you're also an erotic challenge. No, not in this way, but just as a worker, that you're there and that you're another social entity, another being we could speak to, but somehow it's then made it harder with Lilia, but it's also great to meet new people and, yeah, to meet them, to feel you're also dependent, you never can be alone, like in liberalism we're taught, but you also need other people and are totally at their mercy sometimes, or can't be happy and complete without you girls, or at least one of you, Lilia, you, but yeah. And yeah, this naturality, I mean, this is this childlike, and I don't have the answer, but it's nice to have this sexual desire, because it's like a flavor, a condiment that makes also these social encounters more tasteful, tasty. But the sex itself, I mean, yeah, you could do it, should do it, because would be too subtle to play it all ideally. But I mean, the main function is really to be this flavor, and that's the sizzling, and that, like in this constellation in November when we were all there, three, talking, that it's just so enchanting, charming, and that somehow it has to do also with this erotic possibility, but it shouldn't block, it shouldn't determine our thoughts in this way, and because our thoughts always wander into this direction, thinking how is the perfect seduction going to take place, and is he going to seduce, or she going to take the first step, but in reality we already did everything that a boy and a girl, two girls and a boy could do, or at least part of it we did and was really pleasing and satisfying, and yeah, and why I think every time about so much more, I mean, yeah, don't have to think so much, and it's only it was nice to meet you girls, and I have more poems of course to give you, but Today it's has been said enough, and I should hold my horses. And read something in Spanish. Because now I feel also a little pissed at my ex-girlfriend for what she wrote me today. She wrote that, yeah, we could, she told her, sure, couldn't we meet sometime? And I told her that I would not like to seduce her. Of course, sometimes I was thinking about touching her again, holding her in my arm, feeling her warmth. But I said I don't want this, just to be friends, and but if you want to seduce me and make the first step, then you could. And she then answered that no, she already seduced me, but I hadn't been dignified or worthy, or somehow she said that, yeah, I didn't appreciate this enough. And yeah, I mean, I admit it in a way that I didn't change my life and didn't quit smoking, although it would have been great to, would have been great to help this new relationship develop under more flow, under better conditions. But it wasn't possible, and you can't always expect this, that you change your life. Why even? It's complicated to live this life, and you can't be this perfect individual that liberalism assumes or forces us to think about ourselves like we're like this, like the bourgeois being that mighty and reigning over the world with this capital, this great, great instrument. Not possible. And yeah, therefore I'm on so now pissed at her that she's totally like this. Like I said about girls, they want to be the judges. No, she already deleted this message. But yeah, she wants to be the judge and tell me that I didn't deserve it, didn't appreciate it. And yeah, I admit it, I just don't want Wim to look at me this way, that don't want a woman to be a prize, and you make yourself a prize again by this. That, no, that is erotic. It has to do with the sculpture mentioned yesterday, and it's so great. If you look at it, I recommend you, all my listeners, you must take a look at this. I put the link in the show notes at this sculpture that was created around 1600 from an Italian artist, I think, but it refers to some myth from the ancient Greeks, the abduction, the kidnapping. And this is so great for demonstrating that somehow it is lusty to think of the man as a violent actor committing this kind of a sin, or stepping over the boundaries of the law. And what is this woman thinking in this moment? I mean, you, dear listeners, please take a look at it and tell me, what is this expression on her face? Seems to me somehow she is thrilled, she is in a way overwhelmed, but she's also excited and thrilled and thinking like, I'm going to let this happen. Why resist even? But going to let this happen. And this is erotic, and this is the whole point, the fight between you and me, Lilia. I feel that you're totally right, and I'm only stupid idiot for my critique and bringing this up, that I reproach to you your feminine alluring attitude. I'm sorry, Lydia, I really want to believe what you believe in, only cannot let this pass, cannot let this slip away, this great connection to you. But it felt like, I was willing, or I was also stubborn, like therefore, after Christmas, holding on to this feeling of being hurt and resented. And with this, let's change to Spanish a little.
Español. Solo un poema que compuse ese fin de semana regresando de la casa de mi tía. Y en el auto, y estuve así un poco harto de todo. Estaba muy incómodo en el auto. Ahí entre mi hermano y su novia o al lado de su novia, que ella sí tenía el asiento más incómodo. Y bueno, voy a leer ese poema, que no es tan perfecto, pero tiene que herir también, porque esa violencia masculina, como de la que hablamos ayer, también es algo que les gusta a las mujeres, o por lo menos en cierta medida se podría decir así, que en el sexo el pene también es algo violento, y algo así expresa ese poema. Vámonos, leyémoslo. Leámoslo. El ableísmo, el paraíso, sin conjetura, las minas se burlan. El ableísmo, para los hombres, es un escudo, una espada, el arma que hay que tener para satisfacer a una mujer. ¿Vos lo tenés dentro? Ese arma, ese centro de la virilidad, masculinidad, el poder de herir, de lastimar, pero también de dar placer. Obvio que lo tengo. ¿Qué pensás de mí? ¿Cómo no voy a ser hombre? Y entonces, ¿qué es eso que tienes allí dentro? Que yo ahí, veamos, soy hombre, nada más. No sé más. ¿Cómo me vas a pedir a definir lo que es un hombre? La sociedad lo tendrá que saber. Ella me puso en ese lugar, ese rol que odio, que apesta, a orina, a mierda, excrementos y toda basura humana. Porque así de groseros somos. Chabón, cálmate, ¿qué te pasa? ¿Estás histérico? Y sí, algo en mí me dice, me llama, me impone la urgencia de no ser hombre. ¿Y qué vas a hacer? Bueno, nada espectacular, solo mujer o algo más, no sé, solo que no puedo ser hombre. ¿Por qué? Los hombres juntan su vigor, su vapor, sus creencias, por ser así de fuertes, dominantes, compitiendo uno contra el otro, tirándose palabras malas entre sí, cariñosamente. Y a la base de todo está eso, el ableísmo. Solo sos hombre si rendís en la cama. Eso es lo peor. Aunque antes pensaba que era mal abrumador tener que cumplir las expectativas de ser hombre y proveer para la familia, de ser hombre y hacer cosas técnicas como reparaturas de autos y bicis, de ser hombre y ser visto como un ciudadano competidor que tiene que ganar de un modo u otro. Pero lo peor es ganar en la cama. La sexualidad nos define. Como hombres, por lo menos, hay que hacer eso, hay que estar seguro de poder dar esto a una mujer. Y es lo peor, pero mejor está que tener que competir en la economía. Así que estamos contentos con esto, los hombres, aunque no felices. La pija, la erección, así esa. Esa, la pija grande, dura, esa es la que nos define, nos da certeza, nos pone en nuestro lugar. Las mujeres tienen un poder absoluto sobre nosotros, porque conceden o deprivan de ese valor más grande. Poder decirles a otros hombres que tuviste éxito, entraste en el ámbito íntimo con una mujer. Pero no les reprocho que se comporten así, como damas. Solo les tengo lástima, porque no saben qué lindo es ser hombre y tener que atreverse a buscar su lugar, buscar a una mujer. Después de todo, final de cuenta, es mejor ser dominado por una mujer que por la economía. La guerra liberal, todos contra todos, y el abismo siempre enfrente. Mejor es tener la idea o la imagen mental de una vagina. Enfrente, y ese será mi abismo, el que me castra o retaja, ya que decide sobre mi estatus, si soy apto para erigir mi pija y propinarle a esa mujer lo que es esperado de un hombre, que le propine. Mi pene, perdonen, debo escribir ordenadamente. Anständig, decentemente. Para que le guste a mi exnovia lo que escribo, porque la quiero seducir de nuevo y permitir que ella ejecute ese poder absoluto sobre mí. Sí, Nidita, te necesito, o mejor que te llame Manita, por darte un nombre de apodo. Las peruanas son así. Yo me di cuenta en un hostel de Lima que siempre se atreven a hablarte, aunque seas un yanqui cerrado, ensimismado. Son tan corteses y amables. Su discurso emana como el vuelo de un pajarito y te cuentan de las atracciones de Lima, de todo lo que ver, lo que hay que ver en su país. Sí, llévame, Manita, seré tuyo. Mejores poemas escribiré. Solo quiero ver a tu papá, conocer a tu mamá y sobre todo tu hermana. No por enamorarme de ella, no sospeches. Aunque sí es linda y hermosa, lo admito. Pero tú eres mi única rosa, por lo menos en Perú. No amaré nadie más que ti, te lo prometo. Tal vez eso no te convenza. Dirás que dejé abierto la posibilidad de amar a chicas en otros países, de los que hay bastantes. Así que amaré a 190 chicas, una en cada país. Pero mi abejita, eso ni sería posible. Solo en algunas regiones donde ya mi corazón se plantó, por haberle tocado el tono del alma de otra chica que vive allá, como en Ucrania. Pero no sé nada más, estoy fracasado. Sin ustedes, mis damas. Sin ustedes, soy un fracaso. Y con ustedes, o solo contigo también, sería un ganador, un hombre que lo hizo todo y tuvo éxito en todos lados. Sí, Manita, te lo digo, que solo llevarte de la mano me hace sentir así, que ya es el éxito más grande de la vida. No hay que preocuparse por nada más. Siempre tengo más que dar. Tengo la impresión de, como con esos episodios que estoy grabando esos días, estoy como en un espacio entre medio. No estoy dando todo, porque sí quiero dejar abierta esa opción. Ese versprechen también, esa gran Wow, love, wow, wow, spell, ese versprechen, es que yo voy a escribir obras mejores, promesas, te lo prometo, y grabar podcast también, pero sobre todo dedicarme más a mis escrituras para finalizar finalmente alguna, Y así siempre va a ser mejor, eso les prometo, chicas. Siempre será mejor, sí. Y solo acá quiero decirles que sí, yo podría intentar a trabajar más, pero sin mis damas siento que soy castrado, si soy, ni siquiera soy un hombre. Y solo quiero ser eso para ustedes y ahí les prometo muchísimos regalos de amor, no solo mis escrituras o esos podcasts que son demasiado masculinos, no, sino también rosas y bombones, chocolate o hasta una fábrica de chocolate podría regalarte especialmente a ti, Nidita. Y todo eso voy pensando que sería posible y imaginable, y siempre que tendré vos a mi lado, a mi mano, porque sí, ahí seré completo y habré den Rücken frei. Y no quiero ser así de salubre. No quiero tener una paz mental, una armonía cuando no esté con una chica, no esté contigo. Sí, Nidita, no sos la única, pero por favor, entiéndeme. Entendeme, entiéndeme que yo también te entiendo. Y no es nada fácil pensar en el amor así como yo te pido, porque algunos dicen que ni siquiera es posible estar inscrito en el código del amor, que tiene que ser exclusivo en cierta manera. Acá podemos leer de Luhmann. Eso es muy importante. Nos cuenta Luhmann acá que en el ámbito del poder siempre hay como marcar una cierta imposibilidad. En ese caso el poder está allí, el poder del Estado, y la vacancia, die Leerstelle, es el uso de la violencia. Está prohibido salvo para garantizar las normas, las leyes, que la gente acotar las leyes, befolgen, acatar. Y solo para eso es la violencia y en todos demás sentidos está prohibido la violencia. Y así también es en el amor, solo en esa relación es posible el sexo, pero en todo lo demás está prohibido el sexo. Vamos a leer eso en alemán, ¿eh? Para que entiendas que yo también te entiendo, que es algo muy normal pensar en el amor y sexo así, de esa manera, que es tan exclusivo. Man kann in den Kommunikationsweisen der Liebe Unsagbares zum Ausdruck bringen. Gesagtes verstärken oder abschwächen, bagatellisieren, zurücknehmen, durchkreuzen, kann Missverständnisse ausgleichen und Entgleisungen durch einen Wechsel der Kommunikationsebene korrigieren und kann auf dieser Metaebene unterhalb der artikulierten Kommunikation auf Erwiderung, aber auch auf Blockierung stoßen. Wie immer bei Symbolisierung wird auch hier Negation nicht ausgeschlossen, sondern mit benutzt. La Symbolisation, la Negation. So beruht der Machtcode auf der Ausschließung aller physischen Gewalt, es sei denn zur Durchsetzung des Rechts. Für die Liebessemantik spielt die Ausschließung von möglichen sexuellen Beziehungen eine erhebliche Rolle. Vom Amour longtemps, der höfischen Liebe des Mittelalters, über das lange Verwirr- und Versteckspiel der Riesenromane des 17. Jahrhunderts und über die Verlagerung des eigentlichen Genusses in das noch nicht und Tugendbewahrung als Eheerzwingungstaktik bis zu einer seit der Aufklärung des 18. Jahrhunderts sich allmählich durchsetzenden positiven Sexuallehre, die aber immer noch angewiesen ist auf das Gefühl, eigentlich abgelehnt und nur heimlich gewünscht zu werden. Nur heimlich gewünscht. Der Gebrauch von Negation mag im Sprachvollzug des Mediumbereichs als Zweideutigkeit erscheinen. Als Moment der semantischen Struktur hat er einen sehr präzisen Sinn im Kontext der Ausdifferenzierung und der Steigerung spezifischer Kommunikationsweisen und Kommunikationserfolge. Die Inhibierung, Inhibition, des an sich Möglichen ist Voraussetzung für die semantische Konditionierung des Zugangs zum Vollzug und auf dieser Konditionierung bauen die Freiheitsgrade der kommunikativen Prozesse auf. Ja, das ist alles leicht verständlich und verdaubar, liebe Hörer. Wenn ihr das nicht begreift, dann seid ihr noch nicht reif für die Liebe. Das sage ich euch ganz deutlich hier. Also bitte nochmal nachsitzen und Luhmann lesen. Ja? Also ich kann es auch nur so sagen, mir gibt das Kraft. Jetzt die letzten Wochen bin immer noch nicht so weit in diesem Buch hier, wie ich eigentlich sein sollte vielleicht. Oder ja, bin eben so Querleser. So jahrelang immer nur einzelne Kapitel mal weiter, aber dieses Buch hier, Liebe als Passion, Niklas Luhmann, ist sehr lesenswert und hier, was war das noch für eine Seite? Seite Nummer 34 habe ich hier gerade was vorgelesen. Liebe als Passion. Ja, liebe Leute, lest da lieber nochmal nach. Als deutsche Denker und Denkerinnen sind wir gut beraten, uns auf die seit Jahrhunderten eingespielten gelehrten Theorien zu stützen und uns in ihnen zu bilden, bevor wir praktisch wagen, auch nur einen kleinen Finger zu rühren. Ja? Das ist einfach meine Position als Deutsch und das will ich euch hier klar machen, liebe Leute. Ja, ihr Deutschen, das ist unsere Hoffnung als Deutsche, um endlich aus dieser historischen Situation herauszukommen, wo es so ist auf der ganzen Welt. Ja, werden wir in gewissem Sinne als Nazis angesehen, da ist eine gewisse Bewunderung für dieses Deutschsein, aber auch ein gewisses Naserümpfen und eine gewisse Frage, was ist es noch einmal, das einen zum Nazi macht? Wie wird man noch mal so? Aber liebe Leute, ich sage euch, ich definiere das Deutschsein so, in diesem einen Seestern-Text, ja, wir müssen uns jahrhundertelang bilden, um reif zu sein für die Liebe. Und das Deutschsein soll eines Tages so erstrahlen, im hellsten, lieblichsten Licht und also Frankreich vor allem noch überstrahlen, und dass jedem auf der Welt klar ist, Deutschland ist das Land der Liebe. Und Frankreich ist heutzutage abgehängt von Deutschland. Hat nicht mehr diese Kultur der Galanterie und Höflichkeit, sondern wurde hier verdrängt vom Weltmarkt der Liebe. Und so sind ungefähr meine Ausführungen hier zum Schluss. To end this program, gotta come back for a small time here in English and tell you, wow, just feel what I saw last week with you two girls, that somehow it made me feel you were chatting, chuckling there on Thursday, and made me feel also compassionate, like I was feeling pity for you because I knew you were somehow talking about me, and yeah, I'm feeling compassion for you and thinking, oh man, why am I doing this to these girls? They also only want to talk to me or want to lure me. I would be so grateful if I come to see them. But I'm really sorry, girls. I don't want to be this way. But what can I do? I enjoy doing my podcast and enjoy luring you also and asking this question, whether you'd like to come to see me at my desk one day, and I don't want to put you through a test. It's totally not like this. Don't want to put you under pressure like I would be going with my ex-girlfriend now if I don't come now. You have infinite amount of time, and yeah, girls, just you need to grow up like we all do, but I also don't want it in a way, want to be a child, but as an adult you can't always depend on other people and think they will come to see me or start a conversation. You also have to dare to try it for yourself. And although as a man you could feel, ah, now this woman, she's so autonomous, starting conversations all for herself, and how could I ever be sure of her that she doesn't escape me? But therefore, Wim, I have to tell you that it's not this way. It's a normal feeling, but it's totally sexist and patriarchal if we continue to think this way. And at least you should be like me also, talking about the desires you have and the special yearning for this or that person. And you could and should someday be able to also talk like this, and then we can surpass this inequality. I only want to be equal with you and work with you, because this is making me feel even more secure of you than in love, kissing or having sex. This is something that passes, but to work you have to do it all your life, right? Or at least for a long time before becoming a rentner, before becoming a jubilate and a pensioner. And yeah, I guess I said it all. It's not so good to have compassion, right? This is the point. Pity or compassion, not that good. Therefore, it's better to feel hate, because this compassion is what I felt then. It's only going to sympathy or pitifulness is only going to worsen the situation of this victim feeling that bad or feeling like other people are now pouring out even this sympathy. Sympathy over their heads, and therefore making it feel even worse. But they know that you're in a strange place and just doesn't have to do so much with the country, a strange culture, but simply that the workplace is a strange place. And I felt it this way strongly, of course, when now I work at least 3 years there, but when I was working only 6 months or 1 year there, of course I felt, ooh, I'm in a strange place, and therefore I totally understand you girls and totally must also really admit that I'm really ashamed of my own behavior, should be different, should already have talked to you again, or I'm really ashamed and also now I guess we can end this program, and maybe I can play another song. Let's play the song Você, because this states something about a love pair from a different country. One of them seems to be from Argentina or from a Spanish-speaking country, and the other one from Brazil. or Portugal, because there's this Portuguese word você, which means you. You, yeah. And it's so cute, these verses where he sings, I'm waiting in my bed for you, you can go around the world, or yeah, but I'm always waiting here, te esperaré en cama. Você fala assim, you are talking this way, talking a little strange. Você fala assim, porque, because this is Portuguese, this one line, but the rest of the song is in Spanish. E eu te amo assim, and I love you. So, you're talking this way, a little strange, but I love you in this way, maybe also a little strange. With you, Lilia, I think of this, of course. Don't feel like in love with any other woman, or don't want to be at least, or only want you to talk to me, no matter in what language.
Você fala así, yo no te digo nada, eu te amo así, no hay tiempo para nada, ve, crece y volve, te esperaré en mi cama, ten, mujer, para el corazón, canción desenfrenada. Você fala así, yo no te digo nada, eu te amo así, no hay tiempo para nada, ve, crece y volve, agujeros en mi cama ten, mujer, para el corazón, canción desenfrenada. Claro, fue el tiempo en que vivimos, sentir cada sensación, lleva la vida plena cuando se muere el amor, nace otro amor, desde el desamor brilla el nuevo sol, y hoy te quiero en cualquier parte. Thank you.